What is truth? It seems like an easy answer until you start trying to verbalize it. Defining truth might be easier if we start with what is not truth. Truth is not just whatever works for someone or some system, like an ends versus the means type approach. Because lies can appear to work, but they're still lies and not the truth. Truth is not just what we can understand. A group of people can get together and form a false story that seems to make perfect sense. And although they all agree on the same false story, it does not make their presentation true. Truth is not what makes people feel good. Unfortunately, bad news can also be true. Truth is not what the majority says is true. Truth is not defined by what is intended, because good intentions can still be wrong. Truth is not simply what is believed. A lie can still be believed and still be a lie. And truth is not how we know. Truth is what we know. The Greek word aletheia literally means to unhide. It conveys the thought that truth is always there and open and available for all to see, with nothing being hidden or obscured. The Hebrew word for truth is emeth, which means firmness or constancy or duration. Such a definition implies an everlasting substance and something that can be relied upon. Philosophically, truth is that which corresponds to reality. Also, it's thought that truth is that which matches its object. And all of that boils down to truth is simply the way things are. A foundational principle of philosophy is being able to discern between truth and error. Over the centuries, many thinkers have spoken of truth and God in the same breath. And truth is linked with lofty ideas like justice and power and freedom. In our gospel today, Jesus says that he came into the world to testify to the truth. He says, "Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Truth is a major theme in the fourth gospel, and it's so powerful that in chapter 8 of John, Jesus says that the truth can set people free. So it's interesting that at the end of our reading today, Pontius Pilate, the embodiment of the power of the Roman Empire in this region, asks his powerless prisoner this very question: what is truth? Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's a liturgical observance of Christ's sovereignty, and it's meant to cause us to reflect on who Christ is to us and in our lives. It is always set on the Sunday before Advent begins to help us prepare for a new church year and a new season of Advent and the coming of Jesus. Today's reading, however, does not show us Jesus in royal robes and glorious surroundings, but as a bound prisoner on trial for his life. The Jewish leaders have brought Jesus to Pilate, hoping to rid themselves of his claims that upset their religious and political norms. The Roman governor is concerned only about the political aspects of Jesus' claims, asking him if he is the king of the Jews and means to challenge Roman authority. And Jesus' answer is vague to a man who measures the world in terms of empire. Jesus tells of a kingdom that's not here, that is not yet. The kingdom Jesus speaks of is not a place up in the clouds. It's a changed reality where wealth and status are obsolete, where the last is first, where the weakest is held high. Jesus is not competing with Pilate and all of Rome for domination, because his agenda is entirely different. His kingship is determined by a divine truth a truth that he has come to fulfill, one that Pilate cannot see because he is part of and benefits from a system that relies on violence and economic exploitation to grab and maintain power. Pilate's question, what is truth, therefore is connected to Jesus as a king, because Jesus' kingdom is not about determining the truth for Pilate, but it is the truth. His kingdom is not ruled by a king, but by a commitment and fidelity. His kingdom is not a beautiful place like the temple, but a person of God, even as he appears before shackles in front of an earthly judge. That's what Pilate misses and what so many of us continue to miss to this day. That Jesus' kingdom was never a place of grandeur and wealth, but a perspective, a new reality of how to live without the world's definition of power as a measuring stick. We tend to miss this simple truth because we are programmed to think of kingdoms as land grabs and nations and things to be conquered, rather than a reality where everyone lives in love and mercy and justice. We are surrounded with a world full of unending words spoken, projected, written, and transmitted, espousing alternative facts or truth that isn't really the truth, and things that are antithetical to Jesus' gospel. To speak out as Christians against kingdoms of this world for their abuses of power is dangerous. We know all too well that those who stand up to the world's kingdoms that rely on sexism and racism and homophobia and xenophobia and classism and ableism to keep the status quo face persecution. Because the kingdoms that rule this world want to keep their power, and to do that, we all have to stay in our lanes. But Jesus tells the truth, that the kingdom of God doesn't have lanes divided by privilege. And Jesus intends all of us that hear his voice to bring about this kingdom of a new reality here and now. By living the truth and striving for justice and peace, we build Jesus' kingdom free from the lies of grandeur that bind us in sin. Jesus' kingdom tells the truth about truth. Almost 2,000 years ago, truth was put on trial and judged by people who were devoted to keeping power for themselves. But Jesus' kingdom was already coming, even as he was bound there before Pilate. Even before he was mocked and beaten, even before he was put on a cross to die. He was born for this, to come into the world to unhide this new reality, to turn power upside down, to be in the flesh, the divine king of constancy and eternity that all of us can rely on. Because Jesus is the truth.